I'm heading for the next stop on our Nullarbor journey, the Eyre Bird Observatory. Its website says it's the most isolated research station in the world, and just getting here is going to be quite an adventure. The turnoff is 17 kilometres east of Cocklebiddy. It's a dirt road, and there's a signpost telling you how to get to the Eyre Bird Observatory from there. Follow a dirt road about 15 kilometres, there you'll reach a disused communication tower. And then to the right, there's an even rockier track and a sign telling you that you're now entering the Newtsland Nature Reserve. This track continues for 4 kilometres and it is very rocky until you reach a lookout point. After this point, it's a sand track and strictly four-wheel drive only. I've left my car at the lookout point and been picked up by the caretakers, and now that I'm on the sand track, I'm very glad I'm not driving. This is tough four-wheel driving and you need to have some experience. It's a steep escarpment to drive down. The sand is very soft in patches and you'll have to let your tyre pressure down to about 20 to 25. As caretaker George McKay explains in the car, this landscape has an ancient geography.
It's a continuation. The Baxter Cliffs start at Point Dempster, like Wiley's Scarp there. And then go all the way, and they come inland at Twilight Curve, which is 35 kilometres to the west of us. Then they're inland, and we're on what's called the Roe Plain down below the escarpment. It's one continuous system. So that's one ancient seabed, is now the Nullarbor Plain. And the Roe Plain that we're on below it is an older seabed.
Well, it's taken about 40 minutes to cover the 12 kilometres of sand track, and here we are at the Eyre Bird Observatory. The observatory is part research station, museum and bed and breakfast for the visitors. The observatory is looked after by volunteer caretakers who come and live here for 3 months at a time. When I visit, it's Anne and George McKay, and despite the isolation, it's a busy life here. They host overnight visitors, give tours of the observatory, and take daily weather recordings for the Bureau of Meteorology. The observatory is located in the old Eyre Telegraph Station. It was built in local limestone in 1897, and a team of telegraphists relayed Morse code messages from east to west when that was the only form of communication. Here's Anne McKay with some of the history of the Eyre Bird Observatory.
Well, this very beautiful building, which you see, was built in 1897. It was actually the second telegraph station that was built. This was the battery room, this room here that we now use as an office. It was closed off from the rest of the building because the batteries in those days were very volatile and liable to explode, so they were always isolated from the rest of the house. And this room here was the original operations room. And if you come around here, you can see this is where the wires came into the building.
How many people did they have working here?
At one time they had 19 in its heyday. This area was chosen to be a telegraph station because they knew that there was some water here. Edward John Eyre, on his way across the continent from Port Augusta to Albany, arrived here at the end of March, I think it was 1841, almost dead from thirst because he had found no water between Eucla and here. He'd had to leave his horses and his stores and his clothes and all sorts of things behind, and they had had no water for several days. But he knew that if he could get to the dunes, the high dunes at this end of the Roe Plain, that he'd been told by Aboriginal people that he could dig down and get fresh water, and that's exactly what he did. And it saved their lives, and they rested here for nearly a month. So when the Western Australian government started to think about putting a telegraph line in, they knew that this was one place that would be a good spot to have a telegraph station. The telegraph has been built from in the east up through Alice and, you know, to Malaysia and the rest of the world. And Western Australia didn't want to miss out. So they, I think it was 1865, about then anyway, they voted a sum of about £60,000 to build a telegraph line from Albany. They already had a line from Perth to Albany, but to go complete it from Albany all the way to Port Augusta. They put the first peg in on the 1st of January, and the whole thing was completed in less than 3 years. And the first line went along the sea, and there were, of course, telegraph stations at Israel, Bremer Bay, I think, and Israelite Bay here, and Eucla. The first telegraph master who came here was a guy called William Graham. Came with his wife Emily and six children, and Emily had another five while she was here. They did a good job. He was an amazing man in many ways, and you'll see in the museum there's lots of stories about him and his feats. And he bred horses here, and he did all sorts of things. And after some years, the volume of telegraph trade was huge because of the gold mines and the gold rush that was going on. And so they built this big house. It really was a large house by comparison to most of the other telegraph stations, I think. And the house just sat here. And then in the 60s, a man was working on the Nullarbor. He was an ornithologist, and he had been charged with keeping in the back of his mind the possibility of finding somewhere to have a bird observatory. And he came down here. He'd heard about it. And on his way back to Perth, he thought, oh, what a good place to have a bird observatory. It satisfies all the requirements. It's where you can see shorebirds. It's remote. It's got the possibility of accommodation. It's a good place for people to do research. You know, quiet place to come and meditate or whatever. All the requirements, traditional requirements of an observatory. The Post Office Historical Society got very interested because they were looking for somewhere to have a museum to the telegraph. They got some money, and volunteers started coming and fixing it up. And they just foraged around in the building yards at Perth, and if you come along, you'll see that every door is different. Those, obviously, they've just cobbled together those bits and pieces up the top. So here we have the museum, because that was part of the deal, and it's always open. It has grown since it was established because people have picked up a lot of stuff on the beach, and it's become more of a natural history museum, I suppose, over the years. Come on,
so all these whale bones and all on turtle the beach. Skulls, yeah. Just things people have picked up.
Yeah, again, so. There's all lots and lots of stories here about William Graham and his family and how they lived here. Look, you see, if you look at that photograph, it looks very much the way it does now. It's almost exactly the same, isn't it? This was given to us by the Morsecodian Fraternity of Western Australia. It's a toy, really. A demonstration of the way the Morse code was done. A lot of people are still very interested in the history of Morse and the telegraph lines. Some people travel all over Australia just following the telegraph lines. Mm. AIR is a weather station. It's it pays the bills, basically. We get a small stipend from the Bureau of Meteorology to report the weather three times a day. And we're often the coldest place in Western Australia. You'll see that we had the record cold for Western Australia ever 2 years ago, -7.2. And this year, in August, we had the second lowest ever recorded in Western Australia, -6.8. It was very cold. And the bird bars are solid ice.
Oh.
George has been wandering around with a kettle to defrost the ice so that the birds can get a drink in the mornings.
Not everyone who comes to the Bird Observatory is a keen ornithologist, but keeping track of the bird life is a fundamental part of the routine at the observatory. There's a record sheet in the kitchen for visitors to record any birds they see, and every evening the caretakers gather in the dining room and update the daily bird log. Caretaker George McKay explains.
The record has been kept ever since the observatory opened in the 1980s. And it's a continuous record. It's kept every single day of the year, no exceptions, no days off. And over the years, it provides quite a good record of changes in the numbers of birds that occur. So, for example, here at Ayr, we have quite a large number of honey eaters that come in when things like the mallee trees are flowering. And there's been quite a change over the last 30 years where previously birds such as the brown honey eater were more common and the New Holland honey eater was not very often seen. It's now completely turned around and the New Holland honey eaters are by far the most common species in this area. And keeping daily bird logs is one way you can actually document changes like this that occur. It's also useful in documenting the strange and unusual things that turn up from time to time. Whenever there's a storm out in the Southern Ocean, a large number of birds get into trouble. They're trying to fly somewhere and can't, or they just run out of energy because they're trying to fly against a very strong wind. So we do tend to get numbers of birds washed up on the beach. Sometimes they're sick and a few days on the beach is enough for them to revive and they go off again. Other times they're just too weak and they either die out at sea or they die within days of arriving on land.
So that's the Ayr Bird Observatory, a place like no other I've ever been to. If you're a keen twitcher or you just want to see some of the most untouched coastline in Australia, it's well worth a visit. And despite the remote location, you'll probably find that you're not alone.
There are a lot of people on this coastline all the time. People come here to fish, people come here just to sightsee, people come to the observatory. And I would estimate it would be very, very few days of the year that there isn't someone who comes down and visits the beach here.
It's time to head back up the sand track and onto the Ayr Highway again and down the 90-mile straight, Australia's longest stretch of perfectly straight road. Our next stop on the Nullarbor tour is Balladonia, home of the Skylab Museum. See you there.